Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. How y'all doing? Hope y'all can hear me. I got a call-in number tonight. I'm going to go ahead and give y'all the call-in number. There's the call-in number. Y'all call in to the show tonight. And we can go ahead and get everything started. Like sometimes my phone calls, they kind of get a little long. So I'll try to limit each phone call to 10 to 15 minutes, y'all. I'll try to do that. I do want to apologize to everybody because I get so many emails and I can't answer all these emails, y'all. That's why I go live. So the best way to get me, you know, is here live. You know, my consult, I do live consultations, live Q&As, you know. I stay on. Sometimes I'm going to do it 4 hours and sometimes I'm going to do two. But I try to stay on between 2 to 4 hours to answer y'all questions. This is free. Y'all don't pay me for anything like this. This is free because I do not just do this for the money, although sometimes I do want to be compensated for my time. If you haven't already, please go ahead and hit that like button. I really appreciate it. So you can call into the show. We'll be talking about criminal cases if you want to. If I can answer the question, I'll tell you. Civil cases, if I can answer the question, I'll tell you. 42 Section 1983 lawsuits. If you're new to my channel, I think I'm going to just have to do this every time I go live. But if you're new to my channel, I have successfully sued the police in federal court by myself. I won my case. And if you're looking for advice on how to properly litigate your case, and when, I promise you, you're on the right channel because I know what the hell I'm doing. Hopefully everybody can hear me. Y'all should be able to hear me. So let me go ahead and get these phone lines going. Got a few people on the switchboard. Listen, if y'all want to call into the show and you have a question, if you sent me an email and I haven't responded to that email, and there was a lot of you, if you sent me an email and I haven't responded, this is your time to ask your question for free. This is the time, you know, you can get about 10 to 15 minutes, you know, of my time to answer your question. The call-in number is 563-999-3602. Y'all can call in. And then we can go ahead and get this show started. What was it? There was something I wanted to ask y'all. I forgot what it was. It'll come back to me. Call in. When you call into the show, press 1, and I'll turn your microphone on. And then we can go ahead and talk. Okay. All right, y'all. Until somebody presses 1, I'll go ahead and elaborate on some things. I've been doing a little studying on the Admiralty jurisdiction, and I've noticed that a lot of documents. I noticed there was a court case that I read through a little. It was a Supreme Court case. I think it was from the 1800s. And there's another, I forgot what it's called. It's on my computer somewhere. There's actually two cases. There are, if I'm not mistaken, they're Supreme Court cases. But both of those cases, as an authority for their decisions, you know, their conclusions, on the jurisdiction of Admiralty and Maritime, both of them cite clerk's praxis. Both of them. They say that is the lead commentary. So clerk's practice is the document that you want to read, that you need to read, if you're trying to understand the nature of the action. Because I think I heard Yusuf say one day in his videos, he say it's really the same thing, but they just changed the names of it or something like that. And he's right. He is absolutely right. They've just changed the names of it. For example, like in Admiralty, a complaint is not called a complaint. It's called a libelant. No, I'm sorry. It's called a libel. And the one who files the libel is the libelant. Stuff like that. I noticed that in that particular jurisdiction, they only deal with, it seems like they're only dealing with merchants and commerce, stuff like that. That's what it seems like they're only dealing with. Thoughts on filing a bill in equity. What exactly do you want to know, DWM? If you don't mind, because I think it'll be convenient for me and you to just go ahead and call that call-in number that's on the screen and press one, and then we can engage in dialogue like that. Unless you want to type, you know, everything that you're trying to say. The call-in number is 563-999-3602. They do equity everywhere. I kind of only thought of it as it would only relate to a civil case or whatever, but that's not the case. They do equity everywhere. I had a case one time, and I was trying to appeal this case because I got the order back from the court past the deadline before you're supposed to file the appeal. And there's a rule, a principle in law in the state where I was litigating that case at. And the rule went something like this. If the delay was through no fault of your own, meaning if the delay of your appeal was not your fault, then they have to let you file your appeal. Do you see what I'm saying? That's equity. That's equity. So, and that was a so-called criminal case. That was a criminal case that I was trying to appeal. And I cited the case law in support of my argument, but the judge was an asshole, so she just gave me a hard time. I knew what I was doing at that time, but I didn't know what I was doing. This was a few years ago, probably about maybe 6 years ago, maybe something around that time. When y'all call in, press one, and I'll turn your microphone on. We'll try to stay. Let's try to keep it at about 10, 15 minutes. I don't know who this is. I'm sorry, y'all. There's a lot of people just be. All right, I got a few hands raised. I'm going to go ahead and take a few calls right now. Let's see. Good evening, caller 2807. How you doing?
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. I was calling because I'm actually a student at SDC University as well, and both seminars, but just had a couple of questions about the bill inequity. Okay. I'm out here in Florida, and I was trying to file a civil suit against the Consumer Reporting Agency. Now, when filing that bill inequity, to make sure that the jurisdiction stays in equity, do I still have to actually in court claim or basically verify that the jurisdiction is still in equity? Because a lot of times, you know how the judges, they try to put you back in the an administrative proceeding, and I'm not trying to be in that. So just trying to clarify that.
Gotcha. I don't really know too much about Florida. But I can tell you that it doesn't really deal with statutes, equity. I don't see equity dealing with statutes at all. The way that the courts will look at it is they're looking at the type of remedy that you're seeking, and they're going to determine, based on law. I mean, like court opinion.
Court damages.
You know?
Some old
equity courts and stuff like that. What they're going to do is, in my opinion, they're going to look and see if the remedy that you are seeking is it exclusively within the jurisdiction of equity. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. Yeah. That's
just my opinion on it. But see, they've merged all. I don't know. If they've done it, I think they did it in Florida. I'm not really sure.
They did. They did.
Okay. They've merged all these courts into one court. So, for example, your court of equity, it may be the circuit court. There's a word that they use for all of these courts that have been merged into one, and they call them I think they call it general jurisdiction.
General. There you go.
General jurisdiction is the merger of all of those courts into one. I mean, they can hear all types of cases.
Okay.
General jurisdiction.
But I know a lot of, because again, I know filing, paperwork into the docket is one thing, but a lot of times, they try to steer it. Obviously, they have their games and stuff like that. Well, the judges and attorneys. So, yeah, I was honestly trying to file tort damages, obviously, against my person.
Mm-hmm.
And, mainly, for damages that were incurred against me. Now, I have a strong case, but obviously when it comes to, because I plan on actually going to federal court regarding this issue. And, obviously I'm still brushing up my civil procedure and all that, but just making sure that, I don't get railroaded and, how a lot of times, they try to, obfuscate
If I were you, I wouldn't even litigate in state court. I'd go straight to federal court. That's what I would do. The federal court is a court of, it's a court of limited jurisdiction. Because it functions like an administrative, it's really an agency, so to speak, because it's a legislative court.
Exactly.
But they do hear all of those types of cases, as far as cases at law, in equity, in maritime and admiralty. They do hear all of those types of cases, and you can litigate. If I'm not mistaken, I think I've seen a complaint filed in federal court under, I think you said this is some type of consumer law lawsuit or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be tort damages. Mainly for like defamation, and then obviously damages for basically my purchasing power was reduced. I tried to apply for a home, got denied.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to apply for credit cards, got denied. Basically,
mm-hmm.
I missed out on a lot of opportunities, and I have the documentation to show that. And and my family was also impacted regarding this issue because I have certain dependents under me that depend on me, to actually, provide. So
okay, were
yeah.
you the?
Yeah.
Don't take any offense to this, but were you the reason for that? Huh?
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, were you the reason that this occurred to your person? Or was it like, is it some type
of course.
Okay.
At this point, it's on my person now. Now to say that, it wasn't against me personally. But a lot of the information that I obviously learned up until this point, I realized basically that a lot of these issues that occurred, I could have actually, you know,
I think I'm getting an idea what you're doing. Right now, you just, it seems like nothing has happened to you recently, but you're just learning of all of these potential injuries to your person have occurred, and you want to try to, remedy that situation and get rid of it.
It happened to me recently. I'll be honest with you. I mean, a lot of the things that I've actually tried to obviously purchase and stuff like that, I have been denied, you know, and it's been within a year, if that span.
Okay.
But, but mainly it, I just obviously just going into it and making sure that I actually enter into the federal court scene, mainly in the equity jurisdiction, and not adhering to the administrative jurisdiction or whatever jurisdiction that they want to put me in. I just want to make sure that, you know, I go into that. And obviously, I mean, most importantly, hopefully not go into the courtroom.
I forgot all about this. They may still try to do it because, like, when you're filing a 42 section 1983 lawsuit in federal court, and you're claiming, violations of, Fourth Amendment rights and all this stuff, like, you can do that in a court of law. In other words, that can be an act. That's a common law action is what I'm trying to say. But they're doing it. They're doing it under a statute, and statutes are distinguished from common law. So they may still try to, I think they probably already done it, convert it into some type of administrative agency to adjudicate, your potential bill in equity, or so to speak. That's what it seems like, because a 42 section 1983 lawsuit, you're filing that in federal court. That is an administrative court, but you're filing it.
Okay.
I mean, but these are claims that you can file at law instead of admiralty, is what I'm saying.
But if you file, let's say, for example, if you use any of their codes, basically you're basically under that jurisdiction. So if I were to use any of their federal codes, at that point, you know, I'm pretty much out of luck.
I see what you're saying, but the plaintiff always picks the jurisdiction. Always. The plaintiff always picks the remedy.
Okay.
When I say remedy, I mean the nature of the action. You always pick the jurisdiction because you can go to any court that you want, and you can and you always determine the nature of the action because the nature of the action is determined by what type of remedy that you're seeking from the court.
And then last thing, and I'll get out of your hair. Hopefully, I don't want to waste any of your time, but a lot of the times, you know how courts try to push court dates back. I don't know if it's in the civil procedure to proceed with a speedy trial. Is there a code or any type of code that backs up any type of speedy trial?
There is a law, and when I say law, I mean like a law. There is a law that mandates them to do that, and that is your state constitution. I don't give a fuck if it's a statute for it or not. The people are sovereign. Okay. The people make the law. The state constitution is the law. That's the law. So you don't even need a statute. You can do shit like that under the due process clause.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's the law. That's the law, and statutes are inferior to the Constitution.
That's the
law. The people are sovereign, so that's the law.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I got to ask one more question, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Last thing. If I wanted to represent a family member in court, now, is there a way that I can utilize, like a power of attorney or basically an indenture agreement stating that they're willing to give up their power of attorney to me? So in case, let's say, for example, they had a foreclosure or any type of, debt collection. And is there a way that I can actually do that and represent them in court, their family member or even a relative or a friend?
I personally don't think that, one, they're going to let you do it. But I do believe that you have a right to do it. If that's what they want to contract you to do, I don't see why not. I mean, shit, you can sell, they sell your debt to somebody. They're selling bonds and shit all over the market with people who are in prison, all on Wall Street and shit. I don't see why not. That's just me personally.
Yeah, I know the truth.
It's not even a, there's no license to practice law. They don't own this shit, man. But here's the thing. They just got a monopoly over this shit. And they're probably going to give you a hard time. They're probably going to give you a hard time.
Yeah,
somebody has probably, I do believe that somebody has probably done it before, though. But these people don't play fair, man. They don't play fair. So what I would do if I were you is I would just counsel whoever it is that you're trying to counsel. I would do it privately. Because, like,
okay.
I'm suing somebody for somebody right now. You know, I'm probably 800, 900 miles away, but we're litigating this case in federal court under the diversity jurisdiction statute. And I'm doing all the work, most of it.
Yeah, because I'm kind of in that situation. I got like four or five people that want me to actually take on their case, but I'm still kind of going over some of the trust law. The rules and actually how to actually represent them. And I know a lot of the courts have their own, their own laws, especially in state court. So, but anyway, I appreciate you, man.
Let me say one more thing. It's not even criminal. It's like they don't even consider it a crime here for you to be practicing law without a license. It's not in the criminal code nowhere here. What they have to do is they have to file a petition. In other words, they got to file like a type of injunction to try to get you from doing it. They have to, and that's civil. The injunction, they have to petition the circuit for an injunction to get you.
But then that would actually give them, then they would be liable. I mean, right? If they basically try to the person who files the injunction will be on some level have some type of liability.
Man, I wouldn't they would have a liability because I would think that they would need to bond that case because what if you get damaged? But if that were me, if they filed that shit against me, I wouldn't even go to court. That shit is voluntary. I ignore that shit. I wouldn't even go to court.
Yeah. But, a lot of the times they don't even in federal court in Florida, they took away the special appearance. You can't do a special appearance anymore in federal court anymore. You can't do that.
Reading. I've heard that before, too, but they not sovereign, and they don't make the law. You make the law because you're sovereign. So I don't give a damn what they say. That's just me personally speaking. I can't speak for nobody else. That's just me personally speaking.
Yeah.
When you understand sovereignty, you will understand why I said that.
Yeah.
They're not sovereign.
No, they're not. They're public servants.
Yeah, and they trustees. That's what they are, public servants and trustees. That's why they have bonds, and you don't, and that's why the Constitution applies to them, and it doesn't apply to you.
Got you, man. I appreciate you, man.
No problem, man. No problem.
Yeah, God bless you, brother.
All right, same to you, man. Okay, let's see. Got another caller. All right, caller 0018. Good evening. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. What's going on?
Hey, man, I had a few questions I wanted to ask you about federal criminal cases and stuff like that.
Okay.
Well, my peoples over there, they got caught up in an indictment. I guess it was like some stuff where the house was raided. And the reason why they was able to get, which is crazy to me, and I was just thinking that it should never have been allowed through a judge. Like, and I know why they was trying to, like, kind of doing it to him, but that's neither here nor there because you shouldn't be able to use it. But, like, they was trying to use, they basically used his criminal records and a piece of mail to get a warrant for his arrest for something that was found inside of an apartment or a house that he received mail at once before. Right? So what they did, what was that?
It sounds like you're saying that they're trying to use something from his past against him. And they're trying to use that and say that this somehow gives them probable cause to execute to procreate a search warrant to his house or something. That's what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah. Well, what the thing is, he did have, so the address is giving them jurisdiction for real. And I tried to explain that to him. I said, well, your driver's license or your ID was addressed to that address. So what they did was they took a piece of mail to a judge and basically made it seem like this person was at this location when this raid went down, which was false. Because the person was never apprehended. The only thing that happened was there was mail in a room or throughout the house.
Okay.
That said that person might stay there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I thought, like, I was explaining to him. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what are you trying to do? What are you trying to get the case thrown out? Are you trying to get some evidence suppressed? Or you want to know what happened?
Yes. Yeah, basically, I'm trying to figure out how like, we should, like, proceed with the situation, because what I had him do was I had him become an SPC or whatever the case may be, and I prepared a conditional acceptance on his behalf and filed it with the clerk of court for them to prove stuff. Like, so I filed a conditional acceptance upon proof of claim for them to prove certain things before the case can proceed, because throughout me studying this type of stuff, I know I got a response to presentment. Because everything in the public realm is a commercial transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's admiralty.
You
it's
have to have. Right, right. But they're going to tell you it's a statutory jurisdiction. But that goes hand
that's
in hand
a,
with that.
That's a euphemism for admiralty jurisdiction. So that there are no rules for procedure.
But there has to be an international contract in place, and they have to produce that contract into the record for them to be able to say that they need to have jurisdiction to proceed with that matter, because the necessary steps was followed. I answered a presentment, responded to a presentment with another, with a counterclaim, because that's all it is a claim pursuant to Black's Law Dictionary. That's all the charge is a claim. But the thing is this, though, and this is why I said in the beginning of our conversation that they use this criminal record, because he has been in trouble before. But this specific incident had nothing to do with this man. So the reason why I said they use his criminal history is because the person that they indicted with him ended up getting probation. So what they did, and I've never seen this before in my life, because normally when there's two or more people, they normally do a conspiracy. They normally don't let you get out of it, because if you beat the charges, they can still get you on that. You see what I'm saying? Normally, that's how, in Pennsylvania, because that's where I'm at. Normally, that's how they do certain things. But the reason why I'm saying they used his criminal history is because the person that got indicted with him, they let him go with all the minimum charges, which was the marijuana that was found. And everything hard, drugs and guns, and they gave it to that specific person because they know they're going to make the most money off that person. So it was just like some crazy stuff where once the case went, they threw it out, and then they came back a year later and started doing trash pulls and got evidence out the trash stating that, you know, there was mail for this specific person. And then they came back and arrested my peoples again on the same exact thing. Like, they raided the house. He wasn't there. Now they're saying that they found a fingerprint on a box of baggies pertaining to him in a room where drugs and guns was found. I said, this is just crazy. I said, they're trying to railroad him.
Yeah, they don't really have no, they don't really have no direct evidence linking to him. What they have what you call circumstantial evidence. That's what it seems
circumstantial,
like.
Circumstantial, yeah.
That's what it seems
but,
like. The first thing
I would do.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
How long has he been locked up?
No, he's not even locked up.
Okay.
He's not locked up at all. So,
okay.
Like, when it happened, it was probably like right in between COVID, and he has a medical condition to where it's like he got a pacemaker or whatever. So, like, his lawyer fought for him to be able to be put on home confinement or whatever the case may be until the outcome of the case, but they still haven't, it's still going on, and this was 3 years ago.
Okay. What was I going to say? He needs to, if I was him, I would, because the case is probably still pending right now, I would file a motion for discovery.
Yeah,
to get
that.
All the evidence, all of the witnesses that they're gonna use against him, and I would subpoena that warrant, that so-called warrant, and I would look at it to see if it's valid.
Yeah, but and then what they did though is they threw that in there. You know, they threw a confidential informant in there, so. So I did petition, I motioned for discovery, and I compelled them to do it because once he didn't want to do it, I made the judge compel him to release whatever. So when they did, and the motions was filed or whatever the case may be to suppress certain evidence because they're just trumping cases up on him.
He still had a witness. Yeah, I mean, he got a right to confront that witness. I don't give a damn if he what they call it, confidential. I don't give a damn if he is or not. He shouldn't signed up for the job. They might be telling this man to lie, and if he don't lie, he gonna go to jail and all this. That's what type of games they play.
That's exactly what they was doing, and they like so. In another case with this case, so what they was doing was they that initial case I was telling you about. Now what they started doing was harassing him, basically, like following him, parking certain places, running license plates for no reason, park cars, and I mean all type of stuff to him. So when I filed the motions or whatever to suppress certain things, like the government responded to the motions or whatever the case may be, and he was stating the reasons why he don't think the motion should be granted. But in his final report, we asked about that witness, and I'm like, well, where's the witness at? Well, their only witness here is going to be the lab tech that can testify to drugs and the quantity of the drugs. I said, so where's the governmental, like, where's the informant that y'all stated? And then throughout the report, because I read everything from top to bottom, they said they caught this man with a piece of crack cocaine and still let him make a control bad.
Man,
this don't make no sense.
If they don't have no witness, they ain't got no case. They need somebody with personal knowledge that can come in there and contest the veracity of all of those so-called facts that they allegedly have
in that
search warrant.
See, but what I was telling him, though, is because really, originally this case stems all the way back to 2017, but in 2018 they threw it out, and I don't know what their stipulations was. They dismissed it with prejudice, or no, they dismissed it without prejudice. Upon
they dismissed it with prejudice. I don't see how they can bring that back, man, if they did it with prejudice.
Well, I'm gonna get those transcripts too because I wasn't there, so I want to know exactly what the wording was. And I don't know, like, because what he was saying was one of the cops was deployed on military duty, and they dismissed it because of that. And they were saying, like, they could come back. So long story short, they started doing trash pulls. And they said they found evidence of him, well, evidence of drug selling out of the apartment, whatever, it was in the trash.
How do you find evidence of drug selling in the paraphernalia? Something like that?
Yeah, so basically they said, like, they said they found corner baggies known as diapers in the trash.
Yeah,
in the trash.
He could have been smoking weed. You know what I'm saying? He could have just bought him some weed and smoked, rolled up his blunts and shit and just threw the bag.
But this is what they do, though. They put in there, they found two of them that contained crack, cocaine residue.
Yeah.
So this is how they got their warrant, I guess, from the previous year prior to that happening, them taking the trash. But what I'm saying, though, is they said they found that in there along with indicia, which means they found some type of mail that states that my people was living in the house. So I said that don't give you probable cause to get a search warrant.
That don't even mean he lived there. I mean, he could have. Man, you know people move from addresses and still get mail at addresses that they don't even live at no more, man.
Right. That's why I told him, I said, you can't go crazy about the situation because I said at the end of the day, the burden of proof is on them. They got to prove that you done did something.
He ain't got to prove nothing.
No.
The burden of proof ain't on him. It's on him.
Right.
But I told him, I said, Go ahead, bro. My bad.
No, my bad.
No, he needs to go ahead and file that motion for discovery ASAP. And he need to ask for everything that I just said. He need to ask for a copy of that so-called search warrant. See who the witnesses are that's going to testify against him. He got to get everything. Whatever they trying to accuse against. Huh?
I got it all. I already got everything, and it ain't nothing but an officer on the warrant. It ain't nobody testifying or nothing. Like I said, they put certain things in the report to, get the search warrant.
Is the warrant valid?
I mean, I got to really, like, that's why I was calling in for you, like, to be able to, I don't know if I need to book a consultation or whatever the case may be, because I want to be able to go do the reports with you and see how you look at things, because I look at it differently than somebody else might. You see what I'm saying? So,
all right, I'm gonna tell you what you need to do right now without even getting a consultation. This is how you determine if the warrant is valid or not. One, you need to find out what statute that they are alleging that he allegedly violated. All right. Two, go to that statute and read the elements of that statute. And then get the complaint out of the search warrant or whatever, and look at the facts. When I say elements, I'm talking about the facts. That's what the facts are. They're elements. See if those facts that they have in that search warrant are sufficient in law to justify the judge signing off on that search warrant. Even if the judge signed the search warrant, if that warrant is not supported by probable cause, that bitch is in law. It's void. I don't give a damn. A million judges sign that motherfucker. If it's not supported by probable cause, it is void.
Yeah, their probable cause was the trash pulls. That's what their probable cause was.
Man, that ain't no. I'm quite sure that they got cases that say that's just not enough. Like they need.
No, I've been looking for them though. It was the trash pools coupled with the 2017 situation to where it's just so common. They responded to a burglar alarm, and they said they smelled weed, and then they just went haywire. They went crazy, locked up the crib, got a search warrant, all this crazy stuff. But I'm just like, you can't, ain't nobody in there. Like, you act like somebody in there, and you yelled in, and somebody started running around, and now you got exigent circumstances to go through the house or lock it up or secure. It wasn't none of that. It was like more so like it was crazy, but that's what they used. They used a previous case that they threw out, and they was trying to come at back to it at a later date. They used that coupled with the trash pool. But like I said, in them trash pools, if they said they got any type of mail, there's going to be a date on it. And if that date don't match up with these trash pools or something around these trash pools, it ain't going to even make no sense.
Mm-mm. I don't think they got no case.
But I know you, Shanda. I know they don't. I know they
don't. Yeah, I don't think they got no case. I would, I could try to find you some cases. It'll take some time.
Yeah.
So,
I would like to book a consultation, though. Like, I mean, regardless of the fact, you know, whatever, however you want to do it. So, you know, you got my number. You should give me a shout out or whatever when you get done. And you can just chop it up.
This is how I normally do it. Like, when people, whenever they cash out me or send me their payment through PayPal, they always, you know, give me their number.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll text them from my business line, and I ask them what's a good time,
mm-hmm.
you know, for us to have the
mm-hmm.
consultation. That's how I normally do it.
Okay.
Let me add my cash tag or whichever one you want. You can do PayPal or Cash App. It doesn't matter.
All right.
And let me do my PayPal right now. I'm adding it to the chat room, so you should see it. But it don't sound like they got a case to me, man. What makes the warrant valid is it's like a mixture of things. So let's say they do have probable cause. Where's the judge signature on it? Is it a bona fide signature? If it's not a bona fide signature, it is void. The most important thing is probable cause. And probable cause is a mixed question of law and fact, meaning the facts of the case along with the so-called law that you are allegedly violating will determine if you have been lawfully arrested, if that search warrant is lawful, or if the arrest warrant lawful, so on and so forth like that.
Yeah, he's scared to death, though. And I'm just like, man.
I feel him. But, you know, he don't know what's going on for real. But them folks, I can't stand them damn folks. Them folks get on my damn nerve, man. They get on my nerve. Cause it's like, it'd be a game to them, you feel me? But it's not a game to us because it's
like,
our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just
so they
a
just
game.
Go around and lie on you.
Yeah. They playing a game, man. That's what they're doing.
Exactly what they did to me.
But I added the cash tag and the PayPal email address.
Mm-hmm.
So you can send it down. Then once I finish the live, if I get it, I'll shoot you a text or something like that. And if you don't mind, put your number in the in the description section, wherever you send the money from or whatever, just add your number so I can text you and let you know.
I guess. All right, appreciate it.
No problem. Good luck, man.
Yeah, peace.
Keep hearing people outside, but one though, I don't know who these people are. Oh, those are my neighbors. Sorry about that, y'all. What's good, Jose? Been a minute, man. I ain't talking to you in a minute. Hope everything going good with everybody else. If y'all haven't already, please go ahead and hit that like button. Please do that. Let me see. What else did I do? I put something else in there. I don't know what I did in the chat room, but I want to talk about, you know, some more criminal cases, but I really want to talk about 42 Section 1983 lawsuits. I get a lot of emails from people who want to know how to do those cases. If you sent me an email and you have not heard back from me, chances are you probably didn't because I'd be busy. This is your time to ask your question right now. 42 Section 1983, what you want to know? Let me see if I'm gonna find my case and I'm gonna add my case to the chat. And if you have Pacer, you can go to Pacer. And you can look at all of the documents that were filed in my court case in federal court. I'm going to give you all my case number right quick. I'm going to add it to the chat. Let's see. Got it. All right. All right. I just posted y'all my case number. That's my case number. Y'all can go and read that case. Now, there are some documents that I have that were not recorded on the docket because it was part of the settlement agreement. I have copies of those documents, though. It's basically my non-disclosure agreement. But everything else y'all should have, I mean, it should be on the that docket. Let's see, Jose, no court has a case or jurisdiction without an affidavit from a standing court. That's right, Jose. Need a competent witness. Even if they have an affidavit, if that affidavit is not supported by probable cause, it's void. Void, void, void. It's void from the day it was signed. It just don't even matter, period. If they don't have a witness, it's a wrap. It's over with. And that's everywhere. What is that, Paglio versus Trinity versus Paglio, or whatever it is, that's a principle, and that principle applies everywhere. You cannot testify against anybody without personal knowledge. Nobody can do that. Nowhere. Y'all can call into the show. The call-in number is 563-999-3602. Call into the show. Call into the show. See what's up. Yeah, that's right, Jose. You talking about a state circuit court, Jose? If you're talking about a state circuit court, yeah, you can file a 42 section 1983 lawsuit in state court, in the circuit court. Yeah, you can. If that's what you're talking about. I wouldn't, because look. They terrible, man. They terrible. I ain't know that, Jose. I'm going to have to read that, Jose. It says the state gives permission to sue them by way of tort claims. You must exhaust that remedy first before the district court. Yeah, you're right, Jose. State equity courts is the circuit court. It's a court of general jurisdiction. Courts of general jurisdiction, they can hear cases at law in equity, admiralty, and maritime. That's what general jurisdiction means. A Rule 201 judicial notice in their case. Is that Rule 201? Is that an evidence rule, Jose? Is that an evidence rule, or is that a rule of, is that a rule of civil procedure or criminal procedure, Jose? It looked like an evidence rule. That's what it looked like. Oh, no, you good, Jose. You good, man. Do what you got to do, man. Take care of your kids, man. Take care of your kids. Press 1 if you want to talk. All you got to do is press 1, and I'll turn your microphone on, and you can ask your question. I can't wait to get me another computer, y'all, so I can use my $800 camera. Y'all have no idea. I'm so tired of this. The way that my screen looks, I just hate it. I have an $800 camera, and I can't use it. Caller 1097, good evening. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
What can I do for you?
Okay, I had a question.
Okay.
Okay, my son has got himself in a little bit of predicament.
Hey, I'm going
What can I do for you?
Okay, I have a question.
Turn your audio off in the background, okay, man. I can hear.
Yeah, I'm going to have to because it's throwing me off. Hold on. Okay, there we go.
All right, thank you.
Okay, I had a question. Well, my son ended up getting into some trouble. But the way the police went about it, I know it's kind of messed up, but I don't know where to start, like, you know, imprinting my footsteps. I have a copy of the search warrant. But how they did the search before they got the search warrant to where he was at, they already had went in the house. They had put the girl that whose house he was in, threw her outside, her and her kid, and searched the house. But once they got done searching the house, then that's when they had got the search warrant. But I was reading the search warrant, and some of the stuff on there just does not make sense to me.
Like
okay,
what?
For example, okay. I'm looking at the search warrant. Okay, they got the detective name on here because they issued a – it happened on a Saturday. It happened March 4th, which was on a weekend. Okay, and in the search warrant, it has whereas the detective went and got this warrant. It got the description premises, which is the address where he was at. My son asked them how they know where he was at. They said somebody told them where he was at. They got the description of the object, which I believe is stupid because it looked like that's the clothes they had on. They got the firearm in their clothing, gun holsters, magazines, ammunition cases, documents, a paper related to the purchase, document. But that wasn't his house. He didn't live there. Then they got the description of the crime. This person danger and safety and a felon in possession of a firearm. Then I heard you telling the one guy to look at the section, you know, the codes on the warrant, which I'm looking at, which has section 941030. Then they got the one in parentheses, and there's another code on here, which I stay in the state of Wisconsin, so I'm going to have to look those codes up.
Okay.
Then they got, therefore, in the name of the state of Wisconsin, you are commanded forthwith to search the premises, or he said person. Like, you know, at the bottom of it, it does find it.
Okay.
But I'm trying to figure out how did y'all get a search warrant that fast? Like,
these
is it possible for them to even get a search warrant on a Saturday that quick?
I can tell you this. If I'm not mistaken, they have to. There are judges that do that 24/7. But that's irrelevant for right now because all of that girl has to do is she can file an affidavit and say the police came to her house, then ask her can they search her house, threw her outside. And searched her house, and then and went and procreated a search warrant against her. And that's all she got to do. And she come in and testify to that. It's a wrap for that case. It should be a wrap for that case because
I understand everything you're saying, but you know how that goes when you're dealing with minors, first mind wise. That's why they did what they did because they knew that she didn't know no better.
How old is she?
She was, I think, the little girl about 23, 24. But what I mean by a minor is. You know how they look at people that's incompetent. She's incompetent. As far as she don't have the knowledge.
I know what you mean. It doesn't matter because she still has these constitutional rights, and they violated those rights. Wherever there's a right, there's a remedy. When they violate your rights, there's going to always be a remedy. And the remedy for that is because they violated the Fourth Amendment. Is they can't use that evidence against them. They have to exclude that evidence. It's inadmissible as a matter of law based on these facts that you're telling me. It's not his house, but they never had permission to go into the house. They went and got a search warrant after they searched the house. There were no exigent circumstances that were so severe that they didn't have time to go and get a warrant so they can come back and search the house. It just don't make sense.
I know. So I was trying to figure out how to help my son, because right now Wisconsin don't have public – right now he don't have a public defender, which that's basically what they is. So right now he's sitting in jail because they don't have a public defender to assign to him. So that so what they did was they rescheduled his court to next month on the 6th. So I'm trying to see what can I do to kind of assist him as well, even though I know that was an illegal search and they know they did an illegal search. So I'm like stuck in a – and like I'm just stuck. Like I don't know what to do.
I know what you mean. Trying to see –
if he would have just let me file a complaint on his PO when I had when I wanted to, he wouldn't be in this predicament either.
Damn, I'm trying to think.
And I was going to file one against her bond.
The issue is, she should have a bond too, by the way, but the issue is it wasn't his house. So you would have
to... Right, it wasn't his house for them to run in there.
Uh-huh. So... he don't have. He don't.
And they was
he
only
can't.
There because someone told them my son was there, and so the marshals ended up running in there. And I'm so as I'm doing my research, I know they can also make the chief deputy marshals.
The chief,
if I'm not mistaken.
You said the U.S. marshals went in there. So you're saying that the U.S. marshals they can deputize somebody? Is that what you're saying? Something like that. That's what you're saying? They
probably asked my son, and they said the marshals ran up in there. So as I was doing my research and looking at different codes and stuff, where how they make the chief deputy, they can also make them marshals.
Okay. I've got some people in here, and they bringing up some pretty good questions in the chat room. It says...
I'm not signed in. I didn't sign into my
account
to read their question.
I'm going to read you the question.
Okay.
Does the warrant, is it very specific at what part of the house to search and what exactly to search? What are they looking for and stuff like that? Is the warrant very specific about telling the officers which room to search? Behind what? Because it has to be very specific.
Okay, this is what's on here. It got description of premises. They got the address on here. County of Milwaukee is one. It's a one unit of a 10-unit apartment complex with unit number A being the furthest south unit. The unit is a two-story unit with the front. Like, it's basically a description. Of the unit. Now, the description object of the search, this is what it says, firearms, particularly two unknown make or model handguns, chambered in a 9mm. And then they got clothing, plur, a red tracksuit with blue and white horizontal stripes, red and white, Jordans, brand tennis shoes worn by, which was his cousin. They got his name on here. They got BM, which is his birthday. Then they got on 2/11/23. Then they got clothing, particular a black polo brand tracksuit worn by my son's birthday. They got his birthday. Then they got gun holsters, magazines, gun cases, and boxes for storing and or transporting firearms. Ammunitions and casing, documents and paperwork related to the purchase of the above-listed firearm, which they don't have a firearm listed, documents, utility bills, keys, and other items used to show who is in control of premises for the description object of search, which that was in my son's house.
So, okay, it sounds like you're saying that they thought that that was his house. So that's why they went in
there
and they did
it. They knew that wasn't his house.
Oh, see, so they knew that wasn't his house, and they. I think he still can challenge it because you said that they how they got the warrant was they lied and said they had somebody to testify against him, that somebody gave them the information or something like that. I think he still can challenge it on a a motion for what do they call it? Preliminary hearing or something like that.
But
that's
see,
what
that was the thing. He's supposed to have the preliminary hearing the other on Thursday, but he didn't have the preliminary hearing. They pushed it back to next month because they don't have any public defenders to appoint them at the time right now. So
man,
they pushed it back to next month.
That's some bullshit. They need to
That's what I'm saying. I know it's bullshit, but I don't know how to go about attacking the bullshit.
It's a way to do it. I would have to research it. This is that particular thing is new to me. I've never done that before, but I would think, in my opinion, the easiest way to do it would be to file a motion for I would file a motion for discovery, and I would file a motion for a preliminary hearing, and I would ask the woman, you know, whose house I was over, to come and testify as to the facts of what happened and how did they, you know, how they got what they got, because they violated her right. They had no right to go in her house without exigent circumstances, a valid search warrant, or her permission. That's unlawful, and they cannot use that evidence. And I'm 100% sure.
Because I was on the phone. I was on the phone with the young lady the day that happened. I was on the phone with her. She was sitting in the car. They threw her and her kids out the house. They pretty much, the police was literally in her house with the door closed while she's sitting outside.
Man,
and they
haven't
even presented the search warrant yet, though.
Shit, they probably ain't never have, man.
I got the copy. Like, she took a picture once. I guess one of the officers got there. They eventually ended up giving her the search warrant after they brought my son and his cousin out the house. Because I have the copy of the search warrant. Like, she sent me a picture of it. That's how I'm able to read to you what's on there.
Okay.
So I have a copy of the search warrant, but how they knew my son was there, because someone told the officers that's where he was at.
Yeah, I bet. That would let them tell it.
Yeah, let them tell it. They said someone told them, because my son asked them when they put him out the house in handcuffs, how did you know where I was at? And he said one of the officers told him, we got a call. That's where you was at.
And he asked some pretty good questions. He's saying, was he on any kind of prior agreement, like parole or probation, that would allow them to search without a warrant?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was on paper.
Yeah, but I mean, SG, that it wasn't his house. He was at a woman's house, you know. He was at a woman's house. So they need they can't just walk into somebody else's house without a warrant, exigent circumstances, or her permission and search that house. They can't do that. That's unlawful. That's not even – he doesn't even have a right to authorize them to do that. Your son, though, is what I'm saying. So I would say –
because my son wouldn't come out the house. He wouldn't come out the house.
I would have to research that. There's a remedy. There's a remedy for it. There's got to be some. I'm quite sure that this has happened before, and I know there's some cases on it, but I would have to find the cases and read them to, you know, to at least try to help you. Because that's a long time, man, to be sitting. That's about what, like, that's like 2 or 3 weeks, and that shit go by real slow when you're in jail. That time go by slow.
Right.
Man.
So when I talked to him on the phone the other day, and he said he hollering about a public defender. I'm like, dude, screw the public defender. I keep telling you, they not for you.
Sure, like, but they can't try him
without
an attorney.
That's my son's problem.
Though.
He don't listen. He don't
They can't try him without an attorney. They don't have jurisdiction unless he waives his right to counsel. They cannot try him without an attorney. That's why they pushed it, his preliminary hearing back. But does he have a bun or no, because he on parole?
Well, he finna revocate. He said he finna revocate himself because he want to get off paper. So he finna revocate himself.
Okay.
But like I told my son, you revocating yourself still don't have nothing to do with the new charges that they have against you. They got him down for habitual offender twice. When they ran into the house, wasn't no guns on him. So
I was just
basically
about to
everything
say that.
They found in the house, they putting on him. They came out
with
the charges.
Yeah, they can't do that. They can't do that. That's just like if you riding in the street, you riding down the street, it's like 4 people in the car or whatever, and there's guns and drugs in the car or whatever, so they charge everybody. They can't do that shit. They
came out the house with 2 garbage bags.
Yeah, but it don't matter. That's circumstantial. They're like, it's not him. I mean, let me rephrase that. They didn't find it on him is what I'm saying. But now, you know,
no, they
might try to pin it on, you know, the girl or whatever, but they can't do that because they didn't find it on her either. She was outside when they did all this shit. So what he needs to do is shut the fuck up. I wouldn't say shit to them folks. I would just be filing my motion for discovery and filing my motion for speedy trial and filing my motion for preliminary hearing. That's what I would do. And I would try to get that woman to come down there and testify as to what happened. That's it. I wouldn't tell her that she... Now, they may try to scare her into testifying against
him. Yeah,
they
is going to try to scare her because she got kids.
Mm-hmm. They tricky. It's real tricky. So if you can't, if you don't think that's a good idea, he going to need an attorney. He going to need an attorney. But I don't think they got a leg to stand on, especially if this was felt, these the feds or this state?
This state.
Yeah, they always fucking up. I'm telling you that, right? They always fucking up somewhere. So I don't think they really got a good case.
And I be trying to school my son, but he don't listen. Like I told him, if you sign anything, sign whatever you signing with all your rights reserved. Like, sign your paperwork different now compared to the way you've been signing them. I don't even know if he did all that.
He ain't got to say. He don't have to sign shit. He can just draw a circle. I had a judge.
I told him
that
too.
I had a judge one time. He held me in contempt, like 3, 4, 5 counts of contempt, and allegedly fined me $100 per whatever, and I was out of jail 2 days later, and I went to the clerk office to get a copy of the order of contempt, and this motherfucker drew a circle where the signature was. A damn circle. He never signed it. But anyway.
So I'll keep trying.
There is a way. This is new to me. I wish I had some advice for you other than what I just said, because there is a way. I think they ain't got no leg to stand on, if you ask me, unless they pressure her to testify against him. Them folks ain't got a leg to stand on. I don't see it. I don't see it.
I'll just keep researching and keep researching, and maybe hopefully I'll come across something, but it's really frustrating me because I know there's something can be done. It's just all about what neck of the woods to look in.
Yeah, you need to, man, look, I would file that motion for discovery. I would file that motion for a preliminary hearing, and I would file that motion for, what was the other motion? I forgot the other motion.
You said motion of discovery, motion for a preliminary hearing,
and speedy trial.
Speedy trial.
Them folks don't have a leg to stand. Who they going to get to testify? Who they going to get? They can't get the police to testify.
So you said motion of the discovery.
Unless he going to lie. Now, he will lie. No, they will do that. But once you start putting affidavits in there, and those they don't start answering those affidavits, it's a wrap. They got to answer.
And that's another thing, too. On the warrant, it said attach affidavit, but there's no affidavit attached to this warrant.
They got to give you
a copy. Yeah, it says that Detective Ryan or something had this. They complained by attached affidavit to this court upon oath, showing probable cause that on Saturday, March 4th, in the county of Milwaukee, there is now located and concealed and upon certain premises located within the city of Milwaukee. Like, I don't even see an affidavit. Just a warrant.
Is the so-called warrant that you have, is it notarized or anything like that? Is it, well, no.
They got their little stamp on there.
Yeah, you need to get a copy of that affidavit. That's what you need. You need the affidavit, because without the affidavit, I would just assume that they don't even have nothing without that affidavit. They just gave you a warrant. They could have just gave your ass a so-called warrant with no affidavit at all. That's unlawful. They can't do that.
There's no affidavit attached to this. Just her signature. The judge, whoever she is, she signed it. But then, you know, at the bottom of it, you know, it looked like Scribble Scrabble.
Yeah.
And then it got the date, and then it got the Circuit Court 1CCR. I don't know if that's the branch. Yeah. jurisdiction court commissioner of circuit court by 1 ER. Whatever that means, I'm going to have to look that up. But thank you, though, for your time. I'll just keep doing my research and keep listening.
All right. Sorry I couldn't help you any more than what I could.
That's okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was a tricky situation. And I'm trying to think. They didn't find no evidence on him. So why are they charging him with it? This type of stuff they do, y'all. Type of shit they do. Me personally, I don't think them folks got a leg to stand on. Unless somebody start talking. Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment. Say what is required. Yep, you right about that, SG. Let me see. Search warrant. I wish I had some time to work on her case. If I had some time to work on it, I would do it so I can give her an answer. But the first thing I would start off with, I would file that motion for discovery, file that motion for a preliminary hearing, and file a motion for speedy trial. I did not have any public defense. They supposed to have. I don't know, man. I don't know. They just be getting on my nerves. If you haven't already, y'all, please go ahead and hit that like button. I really appreciate it. Y'all call into the show. Yeah, you got a good point, Jose. But he wasn't at his house. He was at somebody else's house. And according to the caller, she said they went to the woman's house he was at, forced her out of the house. They didn't have a search warrant when they did all that. They went in there and they searched the house, and then they went and got a search warrant and out. You see what I'm saying? This type of shit they do, man. This type of shit they do. They can't use, based on what that woman just told me on that phone call, they can't use none of that evidence. That is unlawful. What's that? That's the fruit of a poisonous tree. If I were him, he can file a motion to suppress. Also, by the way, ma'am, he can file a motion to suppress. He can attach an affidavit in support of his motion to suppress and explaining to the judge what happened. He can do that. I forgot to tell you that. Yeah, he can do that because he's a witness too, so he can testify as to the facts of what happened that day too, by the way, ma'am. I forgot to tell you that. I would do that too if I were him. But if he probably doesn't know how to do it. But if I were him, I would do all of those things right there. He's a witness. He can testify to everything that happened. Yeah, you're right, Jose. But that still don't give them the right to run into somebody else's house. We talking about the new charges. That's what we're talking about. That don't give them the right to run into somebody else's house. Now they can probably revoke him or something. They can't use. I don't see them being able to use their evidence against him because the evidence was obtained unlawfully. Is what I'm saying. Lady Di, what are you saying? He says I was taken off my front porch in barefoot. Surrounded by my month-old chickens. Something, I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, you're right, Jose. That's the ultimate problem, Jose. You're right. You're absolutely right. Y'all call into the show. The call-in number is 563-999-3602. Y'all call in. I have about, let's see, I got about 45 more minutes on the air so we can talk. That means y'all can talk and we can talk over the phone. I got about 45 more minutes. I don't even know, SG. I don't even know. But it don't really seem like that they had a good case other than the fact that maybe somebody told them that he had guns and drugs or whatever. But okay, if you have a witness, a competent witness that you trust, that is telling you such and such is over here. He has this, this, and this in the house and such. Why the fuck would you run into the house first to get all of the evidence and then go back and get a search warrant if you already got a witness? It makes sense to do that. Yeah, that's what they do, Jose. That's what they do. But if he don't, I mean, if he knew what he was doing, ma'am, if you're still listening to this, he is a witness. He can testify. Ain't nothing wrong with testifying if you know what to say and what not to say. So he can testify, and he needs to allege facts only in support of why the evidence obtained and being used against him should be suppressed, and why it was unlawful, and how it was unlawfully possessed. I would be saying that they never found that evidence on him. They're just trying to pin this evidence on him based on his past or something like this. Just a bunch of stuff, man. If they do, you know, he got a right to confront his accuser, Jose. So if they're accusing him of, hey, he got a right to confront him. You're right, Jose. You're right. Not Jose. I'm sorry, Jose. I keep calling you Jose. I'm sorry, man. It's Jerome. I'm sorry, man. I was thinking of all. I got another Mexicano friend. He's an older guy. His name is Jose. No, he ain't, but he can get rid of them new charges. He can get rid of them new charges. If he get out on papers, you know, something wrong with that situation, Jose. But anyway, look, if that was me, I have all of those documents that drafted up that I needed in about 2 weeks. Yeah, they'll do it to you. They'll do it, Jerome. They'll do it. That'll do it to you. Okay. There's a few questions. Let me see. Okay. I see what you're saying, Jerome. Let's see. It's a tough situation right there, man. But that's how easy it is to get in trouble, you know, with these people. But they violate your rights and all this, and they think they can do whatever the hell they want to do. So they do, man. If you don't know your rights, you don't have no rights. If you don't know your rights, you don't have no rights. If you don't know your rights, then you don't have any rights. You need to read cases and know what your rights are. Anytime you see the police, and they coming up talking to you, just I won't even say shit unless you know what to say and what not to say. He ain't lying, Jerome. He ain't lying. You know, there's a saying like once you go to jail, like once you get in the system, you don't even have to be on papers. Like it seemed like it'd be so hard to get out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? My first time going to jail, I was 21. And I think I had they charged my person with resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and pistol without a permit or some shit like that. Yeah, I know I'm still dealing with that shit to this day. Right now I'm just doing community service on this shit. I go to community service once a week or once every 2 weeks or whatever, whenever I feel like it for real. But Once it's over, I'm just going to expunge my record. But the fact that I'm still dealing with it, that's because, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I tried those cases by myself, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. But, you know, it's trial and error. Trial and error. That sound about right, Jerome. That sound about right, Southern California. See, but like people in L.A., you know, in Cali, the police ain't just finna just terrorize them and just shoot at them because they know the consequences behind that. They ain't finna just do that. They already know if that's a no-no. The police already know that that's a no-no in L.A. All right, any civil cases, any, you know, questions y'all have on 42 section 1983? I'm going to go and look at the community section on my YouTube channel, because I've been posting a lot of stuff on there, and I see that it's helping y'all, like as far as the questions, when I ask y'all which two of these facts are relevant or irrelevant, or so to speak, stuff like that, and y'all are getting the answers right. Because if it's irrelevant, you don't talk about that shit at all in your complaint. You act like it never happened. If it's relevant, then you talk about it. And you be very detailed when you're talking about it. Let's see. Okay. So it looks like everybody got these right. I'm just checking them out right now just to see what's going on. Everybody got them right so far. I'm gonna post y'all something in the chat section about the admiralty jurisdiction. That's a case y'all need to read. That's a good case, y'all. From 1815, that is a good case. When y'all get time, click that link and read that case. That case is explaining to you the jurisdiction of admiralty. It's civil. The form of admiralty is in the form of civil law. Civil law is statutory law. Statutory law is promulgated through codes. Codes. Admiralty courts are civil law courts. The nature of the action is admiralty. That is what it is. I'm 100% sure of that. I've already cross-referenced the bonds. I've done enough research to know that the nature of the action is admiralty. They like to call them statutory bonds. That's a euphemism for admiralty bond. That's what that is, because there are no rules of statutory procedure. None. There are no courts of statutory procedure. There were no courts for statutory procedure. It's admiralty. Let's see. I did the video basically explaining to y'all how to draft a motion. I got some feedback. Let me see what that feedback was. Some people were telling me that they were having issues, that they didn't understand it, and some people did understand. Let me see what the percentage is, because I did a poll on it because I wanted people to vote. I want to know if I'm helping y'all. So I got 8 votes. 63% say that they understand how to draft a motion now, and 38% saying that they don't understand. So if you're in that 38% and you don't know how to draft a motion, call into the show and explain to me, or just ask me the question that you want to know about drafting a motion, because it is very, very easy. It's not as hard as you think. It's very easy. Caller 6516. Good afternoon. How you doing?
What's up, brother Jerome?
Oh, what's good, man? What's up?
My bad. I was in and out because I was with my girls and stuff. But
I caught
the little end of that, the lady's brother or her son or something like that.
Yeah, her son.
And, once you on paper, let's put it like this. It's like your driver's license. Once you sign it and agree, you basically waive your rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you just entered the military, you signed it, now you property of the military. No matter what you say, it's and with the driver's license, the same thing. Once you sign that driver's license, guess what? You get in a car accident, they think you drunk, they want to test your blood. Guess what? You already signed. You got to give the blood.
Yeah. Man, look, you can't even get a traffic ticket, I don't think, when you're on parole or probation, man. They make a big deal out of that shit.
Yeah, it depends on what circumstance they're allowing you to be out. You got to think of it like that. They're allowing you to be free right now. And there's stipulations in that agreement that you can't do. And one of them is not be around crime, not be around guns, not be around drugs. Those are like the first main ones. And if you're around any of those when a police officer come around, guess what? That's your butt.
Yeah,
it's a wrap. That's why nobody should be on paper.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on paper, that's one of the worst mistakes you've ever done, ever.
For real. You don't have no rights. You got, man. Look,
you got nothing.
They gone.
Because in Cali, you got so overcrowded and stuff. Like, you got people out there are like 20 years on paper. Like, you just waiting to go. You waiting for some type of fuckery to happen to you. That's all that is.
20 years.
And Cali is a lot different. Those cops out there, you know, you got crash units. You got people that know exactly who you are, who your mama is, who your neighbors are, who your best friend is. And, yeah, they'll roll up on you real quick and, oh, man, get against the wall. It's like that. So I feel sorry for if that's her son or he caught up. He caught up real thick, too.
Yeah,
but he can't stop fighting, though.
No, he can't. He it's some bullshit, but you know, he can, like we were saying, he can get them charges thrown out, but that parole is over with that. Bitch.
Yeah, what's going to happen is, yeah, they'll probably eventually throw him out. But what they're getting out of him right now is time in that county or whatever it is, what department they got him in. You know, all these departments and all that, they make money off of people who are being locked up and stuff.
Yeah.
So it depends on what type of agreement they got, where they got him at. They're going to stall him out until the last moment. But if they drop the charges, guess what? He ain't getting out just because of the violation. Now he got to deal with them on the whole parole or, you know, whatever it is they got to agree with.
Yeah.
And it depends on how many times.
He got to have a hearing on that, an administrative hearing.
Oh, yeah. It's like a trial. It's like a mini trial.
Yeah, you got to have an attorney for that shit and everything, man.
Yeah, you got your own attorney. And, like, if you're in YA, it's even worse because you got to have a special YA attorney. And those are few and far between. It's usually like 100 fools got the same attorney.
Man.
So, you know, you ain't ever going to get hold of them on the phone and all that. Yeah, you're going to sit a while on those type of cases, bro. There ain't no way out of no bail, no nothing. Those will suck. You
for
see
real,
people come
do.
And go.
Yeah, they
my buddy was on that. He caught the long one on that one.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, but that's when I heard that, I was like, ooh. But she said something about the marshals. I don't know if those was marshals. Because if the marshals are there, those are feds, for real.
I don't know. I did hear her say marshal, but I really can't remember.
She might have meant sheriffs or something like that.
Yeah, probably did.
Yeah, because marshals, if they come, guess what? They don't need no warrant. Marshals come in your house.
Yeah, the feds normally have their ducks in the row, man, normally. They had their ducks in the road, so they didn't get there. But
what it sounded like, because everybody was commenting, someone else commented, like, what were they after him for? And that made me think someone was involved in a little circle or situation he was in that probably shouldn't have been in there.
Yeah, probably so. Probably
because
so.
They're talking. Because when you got police just show up and start doing stuff on a spontaneous note, that – come on now.
Yeah,
they
somebody,
out there for
somebody
no reason.
Talking. Somebody talking.
Yeah,
they just watching you, one of the two.
Or, you know, like I said, there's a lot of informants out there. You won't believe how many is because they don't want to be on paper. They're like, oh, I'll do whatever.
I seen a list on Facebook of, like, how much they were getting paid a year. They get like
informants,
$70,000, $80,000 to be a CS. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You ain't got enough money to pay me to do no shit like that.
Nah. Because on the other side, it's dead. There's death. There's dead. There's not alive. Those are other choices.
Yeah, I
don't mess with stuff like that. I try not to break the law, period, because I ain't breaking no laws, and I see how hard it is. They trying to get at me.
you trying to get at me
off the traffic, the statutory crap. Nah, I ain't trying to break no laws.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I feel you. How did you Did you find any other bonds yet?
Dog, almost every agency or every case or situation I got right now, I'm on a standstill. I ain't doing no more FOIA requests. I'm not requesting them. What I'm doing right now is because I got my first state tort claim in, and I've still been waiting on that. I called last week, and they said it could take up to 6 months before they hear my motion for the default judgment order. So I'm like, dang, that long? So I've been waiting on that case to hear from that case before I make moves on the other cases. I ain't trying to make no moves. So what I'm thinking is, because I talked to the keep wanting to say loss prevention, not loss prevention, the chick involved with the insurance policies. What do you call it for the state? Huh?
You talking about risk management?
Yeah, risk management. I talked to the lady from risk management on the one on the case, and she's like, well, we're just going to have to wait right now until they go forward on this case, on this ruling, because right now I'm ruling like, I need a default judgment. They've refused to answer the complaint. And if you don't answer the lawsuit in 30 days, hey, that's give me my money,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, they're going to assume everything is true, basically.
Yeah, so I don't know. I ain't got there yet. But once I get to that stage, that's when I'm going to file these other ones. But I'm thinking the way the tort claim is that's your initial claim for the insurance. You got to do that in order to get the right insurance information, because almost everybody that I asked for the insurance for through FOIA requests, through their attorneys at the department, still gave me the wrong shit.
Well,
I don't think it's on accident.
It must just be like that where you are. It must be like that where you at, because the bonds that I showed y'all in my videos, I got those offline from the county.
But see, every time I've tried to make a claim with each one that I've gotten, I get this. Oh, you got the wrong insurance policy. This is not a third-party tort claim insurance was what you're wanting. So in my state, you might be right, because here I think it's called tort claim insurance, not surety insurance. Because the ones that I've been calling on, I got to be the employer calling against them, my employees. That's the one they keep giving me. And it's embarrassing going through that.
That don't make sense to me. I think that either they don't know what they're talking about, or I'm wrong in my understanding.
Well, there's different coverages. So if we're a citizen and we want to make a claim against one of those surety bonds for an oath or a duty performance, that's under a tort claim.
Yeah, it is.
That's
a tort
claim. What the claim is.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to go through a court to do that, though.
You shouldn't. That's what I thought. I thought you can go through the insurance agency, but obviously here in this state, they don't do it like that. One county, they say that the whole county is insured by the one risk management. She said, we got everybody in this county. So I'm like, oh. So half of the FOIA requests I was sending to the sheriff's department, they wasn't responding. I'm like, oh, y'all ain't responding. Like, oh, y'all messing up. But come to find out, the one they sent me was the wrong one. So there's something to it. I don't know. I could be wrong.
They might have sent you a blanket bond.
That's what I'm saying. It is a blanket bond, but it's attached to the risk management. And the risk management I'm dealing with wants to wait until this tort suit goes forward past the initial complaint stage. She ain't offered me nothing. She ain't said nothing.
I don't think. Well, I'm gonna tell you this. I called the insurance company for the state here who had the blanket bond. I called them and just to see what you would do. And they told me that I would have to send them an email and explain the situation in the email.
And they'll give you a case management.
Something like that. They didn't tell
me
about.
And someone would contact you.
Yeah, they didn't tell me about litigating nothing in court. But you need to understand this too. Now the insurance company, they're gonna be on the side of whoever it is that they insured.
Kind of, because I actually did speak to one of the insurance companies that does that type of insurance for state actors, and he told me this. He says, usually, generally, if you make a claim on anybody's bond, their insurance company sees you as a weak link. They try to cover all their T's, cross the T's, dot all the I's, and keep their expenditures to a minimum. Once you start costing the insurance company money, they'll just drop you.
Yeah.
And that's one, he said, that's one of the importances of filing these claims, because the person that they have to pay out on, now they get dropped. They got to find some other insurance just to work. They can't work without that insurance.
Yeah, their premium going to go up, too, once they find out
that they
out here violating people's rights. And
claims do have that. Some of the claims do have that. They have it written in there where if it's a certain type of civil rights infringement, they'll pay the lawsuit, but they'll force you to pay the whole lawsuit back in payments. They got it like that, too.
Yeah, that's good.
But
that's good. That's how you cost their ass money. They'll leave your life. They're going to leave your ass alone.
Yeah, that sounds lovely and delicious. Problem is, these fools, I think they're snapping on it now. I think more and more people, like I said, I noticed it when I was in federal court. The more and more they see us doing things, the more they adjust. So I think now, in my state anyway, I think they're trying to send me on, like, these little Easter egg hunts. But the only one I got locked up is the one that I filed on. So I've seen something there, but I'm not seeing something when I'm wasting my time writing all these things, sending them out, and then they returning a big old long thing talking about, look, we insure these people, but we insure them under a different type of policy. The policy you're trying to go after is a civil third-party tort claim, and this is not the policy number that they're giving you. This is not the correct one. And I'm like, oh, these dirty bastards.
I see what you're talking about now.
So it's the right insurance company. It's just not the right policy that they're giving me.
I don't know
if they're doing that on purpose.
Policies that they got with that insurance company, they should give you the right policy. They probably not, because they don't want to give you no money.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. And you got to remember, these fools all know me. And then almost all the people that I've requested from all did the same okie doke crap, to the point where it's like, oh, hell no. I ain't falling for that, the second time, all right, but I ain't getting nowhere with that. But at least they know that I'm asking for it. And I just stalled out the, because I'm in the appeals court for the state for the child support, right? So I just stalled out that attorney, too, on record. Because not only did I ask her for her insurance surety, I was making objections to her making motions. I said, you are not a witness in this case. Quit making motions. Plain and simple. Stop. And I said, if you want to share anything on the record, please share your civil liability for tort claims. And she stopped right. Thus far. I don't want to toot my own horn, but,
Hey, man, look. It's trial and error right now, man. I'm proud of you, man, because you're learning. This is the same shit that I used to do, man. When I first started prosecuting my cases, my so-called criminal cases, like I was making mistakes too, and my paperwork, it didn't really look that good either. You know what I'm saying? But now my shit is top tier. Like I filed documents in court, and the attorneys, they like, who did this? You did this? They like an attorney did this shit. Stuff like that. Just keep going, man. All you got to do is just keep reading cases, because the format is all the same. All you do is you put the court case, you put the parties, you put the case number, and you put the title of the document. That's it. You do that shit on every damn thing.
And you got a date and sign it. You got to remember to do
it.
That.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, man.
This is what I'm telling everybody, because I got 5-6 different trades underneath my belt in construction. I could build a whole damn house. I've built a house out of sandbags and tires before, and I got that online. But I'm just saying, I didn't know how to do all that stuff. You know how I learned how to do that stuff? Just doing it.
Yeah.
You know what? You got to mess up to find out.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
You have to.
Don't do that no more.
You have to.
Don't do that
to,
no
man.
More.
That's
yeah, because when I was in federal court, I was talking
mistake,
about.
Man.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about all kind of stuff in my federal cases when I was stupid. I was like, oh, yeah, my grandpappy back in the, They like, sir, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, okay. Once you get embarrassed a few times, you start trying to pay attention to all this stuff because there's a lot. There's a lot. You got to know a lot, civil, criminal. You got to know the statutory stuff, too, just to throw it back at them. You know, because a lot of their statutory laws they're using against us, guess what? If you go read it, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that protects us. One of them, they have it in there. It's kind of universal. Given due process protections is usually in all your statutory requirements. They
yeah.
have that type of wording in there.
Yeah. You have
so
due process.
You have
due process in administrative hearings, but they... It, I mean,
they
it had the same due process as it would be on the, you know, it's like it's just, it's like you have it, but it's not as, the quality
it's
of
not
it.
It's not defined the
good.
Same as their definition of it.
Yeah, yeah.
The
quality of it is not as good as the due process under the common law, so to speak.
Exactly.
They pick out what process is due, so to speak, in the administrative agencies.
But it's also see that's what I was gonna say. You beat them with their own shit. They got this shit in their shit. So you just made a good point. Yeah, they don't give it to you the way you're supposed to, not the way we read it, not the way the common law states it. But guess what? When you get that Administrative Procedures Act and you start pulling stuff out of that pertains
mm-hmm.
to the procedures, now you're backing it up through the state acts. Plus their own statutory law that they're trying to throw at you, then
mm-hmm.
you start throwing your state constitutions, which whatever numbers they are that pertain to due process, 14th
uh-huh.
Amendment, because that 14th Amendment is your friend. That is your N16 in this battle against these states. Don't
yep.
go home without it. Don't go to the bathroom without it. That M16 is that 14th Amendment tells the states exactly what to do. And I would say it like this. Act like you a slave right now. Act like you a slave that just got freedom, and that 14th Amendment is all you have to hang your hat on. Use it like that. Because that's
yeah.
what it was created for. And there's a lot of people that say, oh, you don't want to be a 14th Amendment citizen and all this other jargon. But I'm going to tell you what, that's the only thing that's going to get these states to pay attention when you get to the appellate level and to the Supreme Court level.
Mm-hmm.
You start bringing up arguments that pertain to that. Guess what? They got
they
to listen.
Yeah, because it's,
you,
it's
you start
a lot
talking
of,
about stuff they ain't used to. They can ignore that shit. They be like, man, this
yeah.
fool, we gonna cost you some money and we're going to cost you some time. Go figure it out. And they'll make decisions
yeah.
against your wishes, against the law, against everything. I know because
yes,
I'm living
do.
It.
Yes, they do.
I know because I'm
learning,
living.
Though, man. You're learning.
Yeah.
And
I'm
proud of you for that, man. That's the only way you're going to learn, man.
Yeah, I keep it pushing. And right now, that little article you emailed me, that I started to read a few pages. I'm kind of busy, but a few pages I read, I was like, oh, dang, this is chunky. It got a lot of stuff in there already.
Yeah, you talk
that
about that Fourth Amendment, that Fourth Amendment memorandum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's A1,
and
man.
It's because of people like us, that's who that person sound like. He sound like someone that's like, I ain't about all that jarred bull mess. This is what's up.
Man, you know,
but,
an attorney drafted that. I talked to him via email, and I was trying to see if I could get him to see if he can testify as an expert witness on Fourth Amendment. I was trying to see if I could get him in my federal lawsuit against these police officers. And he told me, well, it would be a conflict of interest.
It's interest because the bar
yeah.
card.
No,
that
not
bar
that.
Card.
Because, no, he said
no,
because
he
supports the police.
Well, no, not only. No, his bar card, he's not allowed to work against the court. He is an officer of the court, basically. He can't go against the court at all. It don't even matter if he's representing somebody. He still got to go follow the court. Once they got that bar card, they limit it. That's why I say I like about him, because he was duped just like us as citizens. Like they thought going in and they was going to fight for freedom and all this stuff. But once they got that bar card and they start working and seeing how everything was, it's so upside down. It's like my kids trying to tell them, you know, enjoy your childhood now, because this world is twisted upside down. You guys keep asking me questions about that. It's because it's all messed up, baby. People are that bad. They that evil. Yep, people are that evil. You got to expect that.
Yep.
I'm sorry to tell you, but, you know, and they be looking like, wow, I didn't know life was like that. And that's the way it is. But it's like that in the military. That do you think you're going to go do something? Shoot, wait till they tell you what to do. And you're going to be like, man, I ain't trying to do all this. But you need a check. You know what I'm saying?
Man, you need that check. My bad. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's why I'm thinking that attorneys are selling us all out right now, because I'm going to tell you what, everybody could do this experiment. Go find you a civil rights attorney that understands common law. And that's a challenge. That's an actual challenge. You ain't going to find one.
You really not. You know what? I think somebody made a comment one day on why they were basically saying that these attorneys should take the at law from the you know, the slogan attorney at law in their name, because they're not practicing under common law or something.
That's the thing with that bar, though.
I understand now what at law means.
Yeah. That's that bar. See, the bar, they're the ones that make court procedures, the rules.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that created all that stuff. All these, you can't practice law, because when you deal with that, guess what? You're dealing with court rules. You're not dealing with law. You're dealing with the majority's rules. And guess who the majority is making this rules for each state? They do it out of the Supreme Court. And the reason why they do that is because every state's different. So when the state makes their laws, guess what? That's law. Even the federal government can't come into the state and mess with that state's law unless it violates your protected rights.
It seems like, let me see how much time I got on this call. I got 11 minutes. It seems like to me, because I've read court cases here where the legislature authorized the Supreme Court here to promulgate rules of procedure, rules of criminal procedure and civil procedure for these courts. That's the same thing that they did on the federal level. So based on that, I would have to assume that the legislature here also created their own courts. Well, let me rephrase that. Agencies, or so to speak, to adjudicate, you know, their public policy, and they've also created a Supreme Court for this. They had to, or something, or they did something like that, because ain't no way in hell the Supreme Court should be, you know, doing these rules. They're already rules. They're already
conflicting with the Constitution.
Huh?
They conflict with the federal Constitution.
I got to look into this thing, man. I don't want to be giving off the wrong advice, but what somebody says, at law are the enemies. No, at law means common law. That's what at law means. When you hear at law, that means common law, but they're not operating and they are not prosecuting these cases or defending your rights under the common law. It's admiralty jurisdiction. If y'all don't know
exactly.
that's
my point. The administrative procedures for every state that's using them now, they act as a hybrid. These aren't common law. They're not. See, this is where everybody gets confused of the separation of powers, because administrative law uses all of them. They're judicial, they're executive, and they're legislative.
They use all of them.
But their jurisdiction is, like a trickery. One, they try to trick you into it. Once you show up, once you volunteer, mm-hmm. once you acquiesce, uh-huh. you're done. Oh, you already agree. You agree. So with that trickery, that's 90% of all people. You go to traffic court, and the judge up there say, how many people want to just pay and get out of here? Man, that whole courtroom run up there, you got like two people left sitting down. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You got the system of administrative law ruling everything in every state because of how they got these new courts, the new rules and new things for those people who voluntarily deal with their bullshit.
These are agencies. They've tricked everybody under their jurisdiction.
Yes.
Some type of, I'm still trying to figure some of it out, but they've tricked everybody under their jurisdiction. And they do I can't really figure it. I kind of got half of it, but it's like some pieces of the puzzle are missing. And if you want to find out, like if you want to put the puzzle together, you have to go back and you got to read these old ass cases. Like you got to go back in history to figure out what the hell that they did. That's how I found out that they that there were courts of law, equity, admiralty, and maritime. There were four different types of courts.
Yes.
And but they merged all of these courts, these so-called courts, together in one. That's what they did.
That's what I shared with you, that Rule 201. 201, I'm thinking, because I'm going through these steps, I'm thinking that's a puzzle piece to all this, because Rule 201 is a judicial notice that any party can motion the judge to do. And what you're doing is you're getting the judge to take notice to certain things about this case, whether it be jurisdiction, whether it be evidence, whether it be affidavit, whether it be if this is lawful or not. You're bringing up facts that you want the judge to make factual without a preliminary hearing. You want the judge to rule on these matters as a matter of law. So I'm thinking, if we make these jurisdictional challenges to the administrative courts for due process, you've got to bring to the attention of the court early by having that judge rule on that question you have. And unless you do it, they're not going to do it. It does say they can take judicial notice by themselves, but I don't think they're willing to get rid of their cases and lose money. So I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there for everyone to research that and look it up. Just Google it, you'll see it. The Rule 201, it applies to all court cases. So, like,
is that an evidence rule?
I believe it's some type of discovery type of ruling. Basically,
federal or state? Is that federal rule?
No, it applies to all court hearing, all courts, civil, criminal, federal. You want the judge to take, huh?
What rule are you getting that from? Is that from the state court you're in?
Just type in judicial notice in Google, Rule 201.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think that's a federal rule of evidence, if I'm not mistaken.
It applies to all courts. Procedures.
I think state courts have that rule too incorporated into their rules of procedures, what I'm trying to say.
They do.
So that's a federal rule, and most state courts, if not all of them, they've incorporated that rule into their rules of their rules of evidence. I think I know what you're talking about. I actually believe I read it before.
It's any court that has a judge overseeing a case. You're basically asking that judge to find as fact certain things about the case.
Okay.
Now, without going forward, you're asking them to find facts. So let's say if you challenge jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, say, Your Honor, I challenge this case because there's no affidavit of facts on the record from the prosecutor. So therefore, there's no damaged party. So I motion to dismiss, you know, for whether it's civil, lack of standing.
Now, you can do that, but They'll, let me see, I got about 4 minutes. Yeah, you can do that because that's the same thing as saying that that there's no injured party. Like when you go to state court, you're saying that there's no injured party. Where's the injured party? With that,
yeah.
With a sworn affidavit saying that I violated, you know, their person or damaged their property or something like that. You can do all of that, and you 100% right. But they gonna try to make people think that you're crazy when you're not crazy.
The reason why I'm saying this is because I'm in the appellate court. Remember, when you start wanting to fight back at these people after they put their faulty judgments on you and all this stuff, when you get to the appellate level, what they're trying to do is, well, how bad did you fight? Did you even say anything? Did you write anything down? Did you say no?
Because they only review errors and rights violations and shit like that. Yeah, you're right.
So you want to put as much error down on paper as possible. It don't matter if it's right, wrong, maybe. You putting it out there anyway. Because when you spend $250 of your own money, you can't go forward until you do. And you actually there. And now they start asking you, well, what did you do? Did you write anything? And you didn't write nothing? Guess what? You wasted $250.
Yeah, they're going to do all that. And you have to raise that issue on your appeal. You got to raise the issues.
And I'm learning that now. So there's nothing better than to raise issues with a judicial notice because guess what? You're making the judge put on the record.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Now, yeah, that's a good strategy.
You're making the judge put it on the record. And
that's
if the judge wants to deny your right, your due process and all that, he's got to put on the record why. So when you get to the appellate level.
They're supposed to, put it on the record why, but I had a judge deny my motion. We're in a so-called court of record. But he ain't. That motherfucker looked me dead in my face and said, I don't have to tell you why I denied your motion. On the record with a court report in there. I didn't get convicted for that case, though. But the fact that it still happened.
And that's the thing, is finding out how far they're going to willing to go on this, too. Because we don't know. We don't know how far they're willing to let their little scheme, whatever the hell they want to call it. You don't know how far they want
to
take it.
They're going to try to take it as far as they can.
they get other individuals involved. They get the DMV involved. They get your child support involved. They get backup.
Everybody you are dealing with from the state is an administrative agency. Last one of them. They are no different than the Department of Motor Vehicles, than Child Protective Services, than the damn police department. They are all administrative agents. They are members of the executive branch of government. I'm saying this for people who don't know. I got about 50 seconds on the phone.
No problem. I got to get something to eat anyway, bro.
All right. It was good talking to you, man.
Yes, sir. You know I'm always going to be here trying to spread some information. I always get it from you, too. Keep your head up, man.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. What I was saying, y'all, administrative agencies, if y'all don't know, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Administrative agencies are a part of the executive branch of government, meaning the police force is an administrative agency. The EPA is an administrative agency. The FCC is an administrative agency. These administrative agencies, like I said, they are part of the executive branch of government. But let me go ahead and disconnect this. Let me turn this live off.